We are back. You're listening to Floor Radio. Stuart Hirshhorn is on the line with us. He is the research director for Catalina Research, a regular on this program. And, Stuart, how are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. A little bit busy.
Yeah, you're in the throes of moving.
But we decided to move, or the market, the housing market, got it strong enough for us to move. So we're making a big contribution to the market by renovating and moving and spending. So. Improve on some of these economic and housing numbers.
I think you're doing more for the economy than many politicians are, so my hat's off to you.
Well, it feels like that. Maybe I should get a raise or something.
I gotcha. Well, and we always talk about the economy, the floor covering industry, and where the two of those come together. And it seems like, Stuart, early this year, things were humming along in the industry reasonably well. Then the second quarter came. It seems like things began to slow down a little bit. Talk about what you see or what it was that happened in this industry during the second quarter.
Well, I don't. The economy may have slowed a little bit, but I don't see the flooring industry. I mean, it's not growing back at its 4-5% increase in square footage. But the first half of the year, you were seeing stronger sales. You had first time in a while, probably positive square foot sales, and dollar sales were probably up a couple of percentage points on a dollar basis.
Mm-hmm.
So these were positive moves for the industry, both in the first and second quarter. And basically, housing has moved along. Some of the other areas of the economy may be slowing down, but actually, housing is picking up steam for the first time since the expiration of the existing home tax credit, or first-time home buyer tax credit. So it seems like the underpinnings of the housing market are very low interest rates, of now lower prices, even though they talk about it not actually rising employment, are having positive effects on the housing market, and that's not showing any sign of slowing. Between the first five months of the year, between January and May, permits were up 30.9%, starts were up 26.8%, and existing home sales were up about 9-10%. And those increases in May and June seem to be continuing, if not even gaining strength in the existing housing market. So we see even stronger increases in the second half of the year for flooring.
You know,
you ask a question and I just keep going, so I'll
That's good. And I guess where I was coming from, I've talked to a lot of retailers who tell me that things just seemed, in their world anyway, to come to a grinding halt. And a lot of people have told me that. I'm wondering, it seems like there's a difference here. Maybe that depends on where you're standing, or what could that difference be, do you suppose?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the last couple of months, consumer spending has slowed down. Consumer confidence has leveled off. I mean, there's more concerns going on. Going towards a presidential election usually causes some paralysis as we get closer, because all you hear day and night on the television is the world's coming to an end, no matter which side you're talking to. So it probably does have the consumer hesitating, but there's always been a one-to-one relationship, pretty much a one-to-one relationship in housing market and spending on flooring. And even the non-residential construction numbers are getting stronger than last year. So these are all positive signs. I mean, it could be that the first quarter, because I work generally with non-seasonal numbers, because I'm looking exactly what happened. Yes, if you want to compare it to the year before, you might want to know the seasonality problem. But if a house is being built and it wasn't built last year because of cold weather and it's built this year because it's warm weather, it's a positive effect on the flooring market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. The first quarter sales probably were pumped up because of warm weather across the country. And so compared to the usual spring thaw, there was no spring thaw. We probably had our spring back in February and March, and some purchases were probably pushed forward. It, you know, it's for flooring. So it might be just a natural letdown that the spring selling season was not as, didn't seem as strong as in past periods because it was already done maybe over, some of that was done over the winter.
I see.
But the housing numbers just keep getting stronger. And it's always been that someone buys an existing home, and within 3, 6, 9 months, they start spending on flooring.
We're seeing jobs numbers that aren't improving. We're still at 8.2%.
They're talking month to month, seasonally adjusted basis. I go year to year, non adjusted, because that's actually how many people are working. And if you look at the non adjusted employment of in America, January through May, the first 5 months of the year, employment was up 1.8%. In May, it was up 1.9%. In June, it was up 2.2%. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we went from 1 to 1.8, and we're not going to 2.8, you know, but right now, well, maybe it seems to be slowing. But, you know, this has been a pattern for the last 3 years. So, okay, we get into the spring, we slow, and then in the fall, it starts picking up again. I don't see anything that's changed that pattern.
So then we all pick up the newspaper and see 8.2% and that the economy has only added 80,000 jobs. We're just not seeing things clearly.
Well, you're not comparing it to the year before. That 80,000 is from the month before. I'm comparing from the year before versus last year.
Yes, but I mean, nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to 80 and then you go to 60 and then you go to 40, you know, eventually your year-to-year comparisons aren't going to be as strong. But right now, the year-to-year comparisons are still strengthening.
But what you're saying is all the talk that we're hearing with the economy slowing and people out of work and don't have a lot of prospects for jobs isn't really accurate.
Well, I mean, the employment, you know, labor participation rate is declining. So obviously, less people are working than there were before, but the employment numbers are also rising. I mean, those are the numbers I see. I go to Bureau of Labor Statistics, and those are the numbers year versus last year.
So then it seems like you have certainly a better outlook on the economy than most.
At least for the second half of this year. I'm not sure what, you know, there's still a lot of headwinds out there. Everyone talks about us going off the cliff because they're either going to cut, they're supposed to cut spending and increase taxes to eliminate the deficit. Now, everyone in Washington is talking about, you know, not doing that because we're going to go off this cliff and they're going to hurt the economy and we can't do that. And my feeling is if we don't do that, then we're no better than Europe, and that's actually the cliff that you're going off, is that you are pushing the can even further down the road. And you're never going to tackle these problems. And that, I think, might make markets even more nervous if you don't do anything than if you stopped it.
Well,
you know, if you stopped it from happening, might make markets more nervous than if you actually did it and cut the deficit.
That doesn't seem to be the way of Washington, however. It seems
No, it's not. It's not. And that's what really worries me more than anything else going out further. Because if we continue to borrow $1.5 trillion a year, or trillion to $1.5 trillion a year, you know, how much longer could we do that?
Well, I think
spending is outpacing revenue, so, you know, you look out, it's going to even be worse.
Yeah.
And at what point does the world say no more?
Well, how long can they continue to kick the can down the road?
They said no more.
How long can they continue to kick the can down the road is a question, and I would say people in Washington have been doing it for years and years, and they probably feel like they'll continue to.
Yes, but that doesn't mean they can.
Yeah, well, how
long? And none of us know, you know. No one knew about Greece until it happened. No one knew about Spain until it happened. I mean, I was talking, you know, which side of the aisle doesn't matter because they would both pass this. Okay, talking about housing. We wanted to heal housing. So what was the solution for housing? Is that the government still gives 3% down payment mortgages that they guarantee when housing prices are going down faster than that. That means every loan they've guaranteed over the last 4 years is underwater. Well, that's what got us in this problem to begin with.
We're slow
learners. We have an entitlement problem, and both the Republicans and Democrats are yelling, well, you got to cut payroll taxes to stimulate the economy. So that means you're making the problem worse.
Well, I guess what they're saying is if people have more money in their pocket, then that will prime the pump and people will go out and spend it, and that will create jobs.
Yeah, but they didn't promise people less money.
I'm sorry?
After they collect less, they're not promising people less money if they collect less taxes. They're still guaranteeing houses that are underwater. Both of those things got us into trouble, and we're still doing those things.
Yeah, those don't seem like real wise decisions,
and
at least in terms of the
housing. I don't care what oil you look at or who you want to vote for. You tell me who's gonna fix that. Because no one's been fixing it for the last 4 years. No one has even talked about fixing it for the last 4 years.
I can't argue with that. But that doesn't give...
So I know what's been going on. Employment is rising. All I could look at is what is going on. Housing is healing. Probably for the first time in years, the percent of the GNP allocated to auto sales and housing is rising quarter to quarter, probably for the first time in years, which is a great sign for the economy, because historically those are the two drivers of growth. And if somehow they're healing without the government getting in the way, I mean, they have been in the past, bailing out the autos or whatever you want to say, but Americans are buying cars at a greater rate for a couple of years ago. They're buying houses at a greater rate than a couple of years ago. Those are very positive signs for the economy. Yes, there were headwinds, there were problems, and after 2013, I want to know if anyone's going to solve any of those problems.
Well,
which gets back to your consideration, is that people are leery about spending money, so the closer you get to January, the more leery they may start getting about spending money, no matter what the situation is.
I see. I know I'm not going to ask you about healthcare. I know we've had some long discussions on that before, but I won't ask you about that. Let me ask you a question about the industry specifically here. Various segments in this industry, as you mentioned, the industry you felt has done better in the first quarter and the second quarter than it has in quarters earlier. What segments specifically do you feel have fared the best?
Well, a healthy sign also for the industry is that some of the fastest growing product lines are in your ceramic tile and wood flooring sectors, both in dollars and square feet, which is a sign the consumer is moving up market. Not only are they spending more or purchasing more, but they're moving to higher priced products. So that has been a positive sign. I mean, resilient especially on a dollar basis because of the price of resins going up, is the leader in dollar growth and is pretty strong in square foot growth. Some of it in resilient and people, LVT is and fiberglass back products, probably leading the growth in the entire industry. But some of that is a substitution for older type product lines that are now not being purchased. So that's why it probably lags a little bit on square feet. But your ceramic tile, your wood flooring, and your resilient flooring have been the growth leaders. It's still consumers continue to shy away from that wall-to-wall carpet as that product line loses share. I mean, it's not only preferences, but the actuality. In the first half of the year, carpet and rug prices were growing at the sharpest rate of the entire industry, and that was also the case for all of 2011. So not only, and even though, it might be the least cost product to install, prices are rising the sharpest in that sector and could be causing consumers to consider other flooring options.
I see. What sort of share, and not just looking at this year, but over the last several years, what kind of share has carpet lost?
Over long term, probably the last 10 or 15 years, it's probably lost about 25% of the market. It's given up about 25% of the market. It used to be about 75%. To 80%, and now it's approaching 50-55%, on a dollar and square foot basis.
Do those figures include rugs?
Yes. So really the big loss in there is wall-to-wall, because even carpet tile in the commercial basis is increasing. So basically most of that loss has been in residential wall-to-wall carpet.
So then residential wall-to-wall is well less than 50% then?
Oh, yes.
Okay, this is going to wrap up the first part of a three-part series. We're talking with Stuart Hirshhorn. He is the director of research at Catalina Research. We'll air the second part of this series tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.